Hello and welcome to the Weekly Stuff Podcast with Jonathan Lack
and Sean Chapman.
We are here to talk about stuff this week on the show. We're talking about stuff because it's a very kind of just grab bag kind of week.
We're still at the beginning of the year, baby. Like, nothing's happening. I mean, lots of things are happening in a certain sense, but in terms of entertainment news, there's just like a smorgasbord of random weird things to talk about.
In some sense, this week is a calm before the storm, because next week we have Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, you know, sequel to 2016 Game of the Year Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth.
Yes.
So, we will be talking about that next week. But this week we have a bunch of gaming news. Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct. We're going to go over that. There's some other fun pieces of news on the outline. Going to be a news-heavy week there. For our main topic, we're going to do our sort of 2018 year-end preview thing, which we usually do.
Yep.
I think we actually forgot to do this last year because January, right off the bat, was so busy.
Yeah, I think I was already playing Yakuza 0 by this point.
Yes, so we didn't do it last year, but we're going to do it this year. We're going to go through a bit of a game calendar, and we're going to play some kind of game around the idea, what games are not actually coming out in 2018, which I think will be a fun thing to do, because I'm seeing way too many game preview listings, like on different websites, saying certain games are coming out this year that are definitely not.
Yes, it is always very, like, video game release dates are suspect when they're given a specific day. Like, they're extra suspect when they're just given a blanket year.
So we've got all of that to go over. This will be a two-podcast week, because we also have our bonus monthly podcast coming out this Thursday, which is our monthly classic Doctor Who bonus pod. This month, we are finally getting around to the fifth Doctor, Peter Davison.
Yes, we are in the 80s of Doctor Who.
Yep, we talked about Kinda, an episode with a giant inflatable snake.
Yes, and weird dream goth people.
I think it was a good discussion.
Yes,
I had a lot of fun. So that's cool. You will be hearing that later this week. So that's coming your way. But for now, we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So Sean, why don't we just jump into what we always put on the outline as stuff, which is stuff that doesn't fit into any other part of the outline.
Yes.
Do you have any stuff to tell us about?
I have one small piece of stuff and then a bigger piece of stuff. The first small piece of stuff is I'm continuing my adventures in Assassin's Creed Origins, and I still am really enjoying that game. I've just beaten the Giza section, so I feel like I'm a fair bit into the game. I feel like I've covered about a third of the map or something at this point. And I'm the way I'm playing the game is I'm being very thorough. I'm just doing everything. I'm doing all the side quests, going to all the random question marks, finding all the tombs, finding all the constellation circles that makes me reminisce about my horrifically murdered son in a very somber way. You know, I'm playing that game and I'm very much enjoying it still.
Nice.
Yeah. The one of the things I'm really liking about the game is something that is particular to me in these kinds of games, and I really appreciate it when a game like this gives you the ability to sort of accessorize and customize the appearance of your character without it having any bearing on the stats. Because it allows me to sort of role play in a small way and be okay, when I'm at this point in the story, I feel like Bayek's going to be wearing this cool raggedy outfit I bought because he's been in the desert for a month or something, and I'm going to put the beard back on. I love that you can just at any moment you can go into the pause menu and put on the beard and put on some hair, or say nah, I want it to be fully shaved and fully clean, or I just want raggedy ass bearded Bayek, which I've been for a while because I'm deep in the desert, so I have this gnarly marauder's outfit on, this big fucking beard, and I have my hood on a lot of the time. And I just always appreciate when a game like that does it, because it allows me to sort of compartmentalize the story based on I did it a lot in Red Dead Redemption. When I was in Mexico, I wore the Mexico poncho. When I'm up in the Twin Pines area or something, I'm wearing the long duster coat. It allows me to sort of role play the character a little bit, and I wish more games like this did that. Of it's not just being I'm wearing whatever I'm wearing specifically for the stats. I want my dude to look cool and look my dude to look cool appropriate to where he is in the story. And not enough games allow you to do that, but Assassin's Creed Origins lets you do it and lets you do it really well, because there are a lot of outfits to buy in that game.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So can I do my quick piece of stuff
Yes.
before we go into more substantial pieces of stuff?
Yes, go ahead.
I have one quick piece of stuff I want to do that's just a life story related tangentially enough to video games that it fits on this podcast, but it made me laugh very hard, so I just thought I'd share it, which is, one of my day jobs is teaching, and I teach high school students standardized tests and stuff like that. Anyway, and I was having a class the other day. And very fun class, just good group of students. It was kind of an early morning thing, so we were all kind of punchy. At one point, made a joke about Yoshi and Super Mario Bros., and the kids got it, which made me happy, because they knew who Yoshi was.
Of course, they knew who Yoshi
was. It's good. You just never know. But later on, we were playing one of our games we play in the class, and it's a true-false game.
I thought you were going to say, and it's Mario Party, no, yeah. And I was Yoshi.
One of our educational games.
Oh, okay.
That actually does not exclude Mario. There's plenty of those we could have played.
That's true. We played Mario is Missing.
Yes. No, we didn't do that. We were playing a true-false game about different things about the SAT that they have to know. And they were all super smart, and they knew every answer. So we got to the end of the true-false game, and both teams were totally tied. So now I'm having to come up with extra questions to try to break the tie. They kept getting those. Like, I made super difficult SAT ones, and they sussed all those out. And then I'm like, well, we're going to go off elsewhere. And I did a Lord of the Rings one. They both knew that Pippin was Frodo's cousin in the books. I thought I would have stumped them with that one, because what kids have read Lord of the Rings these days? No, and then finally I'm like, okay, let's do a Mario one. They're not going to get this one. And since they had mentioned someone in the class that said, I love Yoshi, I love Mario. I'm like, they might know this one. I said, in what game was Yoshi introduced? I just need the title of the game. What game was Yoshi introduced into Mario? And I thought, Super Mario World, pretty easy answer. Yeah. Nobody knew. One of them just said, Super Mario Bros., right? And I'm like, I see where you're coming from, but no. And finally, this one girl was like, she thought about it, she's like, and like she had to put an answer. She's like, Super Mario Yoshi Style.
Yes!
That is such a great name for a game.
How is that not a fucking Nintendo DS game? Super Mario Yoshi Style so sounds that would have been like from year one of the Nintendo DS, the first Yoshi game they made.
Yes, so I did make a little mock-up, which I'll have to tweet out, where I just scribbled out World from Super Mario World and wrote in multicolored pencil Yoshi Style on the cover as a reward for the students for finishing an individual practice activity.
You should tell that student to write a fucking email to Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yes.
Because he needs to know. That should be like when Miyamoto decides to fully retire from Nintendo, when that dark day comes,
yes.
The last thing he leaves is he fucking, like, a new Nintendo Direct just comes out, all of a sudden, it's like 10 seconds long, just Miyamoto staring solemnly into the camera, holding up a box that says Super Mario Yoshi Style, and dropping it like a fucking mic, and then, like, cut the feed.
That would be a great game. I mean, one of the things we're going to talk about later, there's a new Yoshi game coming out this year. It's still untitled. There is time to call that Super Mario Yoshi Style. It would be so great.
Or I also thinking about it, like Super Mario Yoshi Style could be you playing through Super Mario Brothers as Yoshi. You're playing it Yoshi Style.
Indeed.
There's a lot of different ways you can interpret it. It's a deep title.
So I just wanted to share that because it certainly made my day, and hopefully it's made yours.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good, and I'm happy now to transition from that into my favorite segment of the show, Jonathan. It is time to take a trip down to Sean's Beta Corner.
Sean's Beta Corner.
Hi, welcome. I'm Sean, and this is my Beta Corner, where we check out the latest and greatest in the hot world of video game betas. This week on the show, I get to talk about the beta for Dragon Ball FighterZ. You might think it's called Dragon Ball FighterZ or FighterZ, but I can read Japanese, so technically it should be pronounced Dragon Ball FighterZ, really, if you pronounce it the Japanese style. So Dragon Ball FighterZ, the fighting Dragon Ball video game featuring Dragon Ball characters from the manga series Dragon Ball by Akira Toriyama, that has had its beta. It's the full game comes out.
January 26th.
Yes, January 26th.
I should say, I have access to the beta. I've decided not to play it because it sounded a little buggy, and it's coming out so soon. I just want to play the full game. I don't want to be teased. But I am curious to hear your astute thoughts on the Dragon Ball FighterZ beta.
FighterZ. Yeah, it's, you know, because, well, I mean, I'm an expert. I'm Sean, this is my beta corner, so I'm an expert on all things video game betas. And it's... I was super excited about this game beforehand. And I should say, like, one of the weird things about the beta was that it was this weekend. I was like, as we're recording this podcast on Monday, it was like over the weekend. So it was Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But you only got access on Saturday if you had pre-ordered the game, which I had already done because I knew I was going to play this game. And so it was interesting because Saturday, since it was only people who had pre-ordered, you could go in and you could get matches and you could play fine. Then Sunday, the beta was basically, like, dead the whole day. Just because it was so inundated with people wanting to play this game that the servers just got totally fucking fucked. Which is, like, I always see, like, it happens every time there's a, like, server test, sort of, like, stress test beta like this, that it the stress test works because the servers explode, and then everybody like starts complaining about it on the internet, and I'm saying like, no, this is great because like that's what it's supposed to do. If they had a beta stress test and the servers didn't explode, that just means that they would 100% explode on launch day. They still might explode on launch day, but there's a chance now that they won't because the servers already exploded once and have an idea of what's going to make the servers explode.
It's also a free fucking beta. Like, if you really want to play the game, buy it on January 26th, you cheapskates.
Exactly, yeah. And like, and if you did pre-order it and got that extra... Like, I didn't pre-order it because I wanted the extra beta day. I just pre-ordered it because I knew I wanted to play it. But like, if you pre-ordered it and got that extra day, like, you could play the beta on that day. So there's nothing even to complain about with that. But luckily enough, on the day we're recording this, Monday, the beta was like totally functional for basically this whole day. And so I have played a lot of it because this game is really fucking good, Jonathan. Like
I'm so excited.
It's absurdly good. I'm not even a big fighting game guy, but this game, it's making me sort of go back to when I played a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 at the arcade cabinet in the Domino's next to the place where I got my guitar lessons when I was like 10 years old, which is probably like the most fun in my life I've ever had playing a fighting game. And this, you know, it's a three-person team-up game, so you have to make a team of three people and fight against another team of three people controlled by another player.
So Marvel vs. Capcom style.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, like old, because the new Marvel vs. Capcom game is only 2-on-2.
Well, that's not a real Marvel vs. Capcom game.
I basically
it's a fucking charlatan.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's an anime fighter, so it's got sort of like Street Fighter basic kind of controls, and it's really fucking phenomenal. Basically, what the beta you have access to is a really limited feature set, and it's the one way you know that this is 100% a server stress test is that they did not put anything in there for you to do. Other than basically play the game. There's a tutorial, but you have to access the servers and go into a lobby to play the tutorial. That's not going to be the case in the full game. You'll be able to play all that shit offline. But for this, you have to go onto the servers just to play the tutorial. There's no, like, normal practice training mode. The only kind of training mode is the tutorial. And then you have to go and you have to do the matchmaking to find other players, because the way it's set up is you have this sort of like big lobby where you walk around as a sort of chibi version of one of the characters from Dragon Ball that you get to select from the game. And normally in the normal release of the game, you know, their lobby's filled with like 60 different players, and you would be able to just sort of challenge people from that lobby to say, hey, you, do you want to have a fight? But they turned it off for this because they're like, nope. You are going to go fucking into matchmaking and you're going to kill our servers because that's what this is for. And I fucking respect that shit. But so for a lot of time, like the only thing you could do was you could kind of like go and sort of queue up for matchmaking. And at first it took a long time for the matchmaking servers to work because they were exploding. So you could go into the tutorial and basically play against mostly kind of like lifeless enemies. And it would teach you all the different fundamental mechanics of the game. And while you're playing the tutorial, it's looking for a match in the background. And I think I'm impressed by a lot of stuff in this game that is probably like totally normal, 100% across the board. Every fighting game does this now, but because I do not play a lot of fighting games, like just something of like, oh shit, you can go and play the tutorial while still looking for a match is amazing to me. I assume most fighting games probably do that stuff. But in terms of like the core of the game, I think it strikes this really necessary balance between being, I feel, really accessible compared to particularly other Arc System Works games. Like, I haven't played a lot of their other stuff like Guilty Gear, but I played a lot of the Persona 4 Arena games. This is the same sort of development studio. And it has a similar sort of setup to those, but I think this is a little bit even more accessible than that. I think it feels slightly more intuitive of how you string some combos together, and it's a bit more heavy on relying on, like, super attacks because it's Dragon Ball, and I think those are more attractive to newcomers. And so that... all that stuff is really fun, but there's also clearly a massive skill ceiling, and there are a lot of mechanics into the game that you can like get better at and dig into. And I probably played 20-something matches online at this point, and I was planning on doing kind of what you are doing of like, I'll play a little bit so I have something to talk about on the podcast, and because I had that extra day from pre-ordering, I might as well. But I got so into it that I've spent most of today just playing this beta and going through...
See, and I am so excited for this game. I'm in that phase where I'm blocking it out actively. I've watched very little of the game because I get too excited watching it, and I haven't played a second of the beta. I'm not going to. I just want to play the game because my specific history with Arc System Works is there are other Dragon Ball games.
Right.
Which you have not played, right?
No.
Because they're on, like, the DS and stuff. And, like, they are the best at doing this in our current era, I think. And even stretching back to when, like, some of the PS2 games were pretty good for Dragon Ball, I still preferred the handheld Arc System Works one. So they did Supersonic Warriors 1 and 2 on the GBA and then DS. I think I rented the GBA one at one point. That was a thing once upon a time, renting games.
Yes. Bridging handheld games.
Yeah. I own Supersonic Warriors 2 is one of my favorite Dragon Ball games. It's fucking amazing. You should still, if you own it like a 3DS or a DS, get a fucking cartridge of that and play it. It's awesome. And then their recent 3DS game, Extreme Butoden, also outstanding. And like, because Dragon Ball had kind of abandoned 2D fighting for years, and I hate the 3D fighting systems. Like, I could not get into Xenoverse because it's just so weird and the camera's so awful. Like, a fighting game is proper 2D, one person.
Quarter circle forward, fucking punch, I want to shoot shit at people.
Yes, exactly. And Arc System works for Dragon Ball. Like, they just, it's not just that it plays so well, but they do such a good job using Dragon Ball mechanics. Like, Supersonic Warriors 2 is this fascinating one because you can play it mostly in the air, like with the characters flying. And that's actually something that a lot of other Dragon Ball games kind of try to tamp down because it's a hard thing to make work. And like, the art style looks so much like the anime or the manga. Like, they're really good at everything. They have such great attention to detail. So, like, I really love their Dragon Ball games, and my dream for a Dragon Ball game, if you asked me what did I want them to make, I wanted them to give Arc System Works the time and money to make a full console game, and they've done it, and I'm just like, okay, I got what I wanted. I'm going to wait until release day to open my presents. But yes,
yeah.
I'm glad to hear it's good.
Yeah, and for me, like, it's both that of, like, I think it is a just remarkable product for, like, a Dragon Ball fan because of, like, it's one of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen, particularly in motion, and when, like, shit pops off, it is just fucking insane, but it so captures the spirit of the art style of the show and the manga, and particularly some of the effects they do of, like, the dust. Like, every time a match starts, you have, like, obviously your two characters sort of, like, standing still, and there's, like, the, like, ready fight kind of thing that happens, and when it's still in that ready stage, there's a sort of, like, light dust effect that is sort of, like, floating on the stage, and it goes, fight! This big sort of, like, shockwave happens that blows all the dust away, and the two fighters, like, obviously are going to collide if you're playing fighting games the way I do, which is just rush straight at the person immediately, like, the mashed light attack or something. It's just all the little elements of the presentation have so much attention to detail, are so beautifully and gorgeously rendered. But then also, it is something of, I have been looking for the longest time for a fighting game that would grab me enough, that would give me this window of, like, I want to get, like, at least decent at fighting games. And there was a period of my life when I was younger where it's like I was kind of okay at Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But it's just most fighting games that come up, like Street Fighter 4 or 5, don't interest me that much. Like, I kind of can admire them a bit from the distance and what they're good at, but... And I do like watching some of those games of, like, watching Evo matches and stuff like that. I'm interested in the scene and some of the concepts, but, like, just nothing had really grabbed me that much. And I like the Persona 4 Arena games, but, like, that was at a time when I wasn't sort of, like, ready enough to sort of, like, really dive into it and play online and all that kind of stuff. But there's something about Dragon Ball FighterZ that it has that accessibility, it has that, like, ability to just sort of, like, wow me as a Dragon Ball fan and as a fan of just things that look fucking cool, that it gets me in enough and gets me ready. It's like, I'm okay. It's one of the things that's great about this game. It's like, I am okay and I have a fun time when I'm just getting my ass fucking slammed in this game online. Because especially the first, like, 10 matches probably, with one or two exceptions in there, I just got completely shut down and destroyed. But it's still fun to even be destroyed because it looks amazing, it sounds amazing, and there's also something about, there's like, I played like a little like mini game on my own of when I was playing against somebody, I was like, okay, this guy knows how to play this game, he knows how to play all these characters, even though there's not a training mode, I don't even know how you know how to do these combos if there's not even a training mode to fucking practice it. And they would just completely destroy me. And in my own game, it was like, okay, I'm gonna beat one of your guys. Since it's a 3-on-3, it's still, like, that's something that I like, that, like, it still feels like you accomplish something if I just knock out one of your guys. Like, if you're kicking my shit with Vegeta, I'm gonna take out your Vegeta. And even if I lose the war, I won that one little battle for myself. And there's, like, room for that, I think, that you can have fun playing the game, even if you're not that good at it. And then as I've been playing it more, like, I'm certainly not going to say I'm great or amazing at it, but I feel like I'm getting into a space where it's like, oh yeah, this is how you play fighting games. I'm getting more competent. Like, I'm not just sort of mashing things out. I have an idea of what I'm doing. And that's, it's really fun to be kind of getting back into that place. And like, as I'm sitting here, I just desperately want to be fucking playing that game. Because I was playing it up to the moment that you got to my house, Jonathan, was like, fuck it, I just want to play more of this goddamn video game.
That's great. Like I actually, I've felt the same thing a lot in the last few years, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast, that I've wanted a fighting game to tear my teeth into, you know, or sink my teeth into, not tear them, that'd be weird, but you know what I mean. And I'm excited for Dragon Ball Fighters to be that, but if we can transition out of Sean's beta corner for a second.
Okay. Farewell. This is my beta corner.
Sean's
see you next time.
Beta corner. Da 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 da. All right. We need to get a real theme song for that someday.
No, we don't.
Okay.
This works for me.
This works for you? All right. Anyway, I've been playing a fighting game just for myself, just to kind of have fun, because I didn't really have... I finished Arkham City, and I got to the point where some of the, like, 100%ing got annoying, so I'm like, I'm going to put that aside. And I'm like, I want a new thing to play. I want something to play on my Switch, because I haven't had anything new to play on my Switch in a little bit, and I'm on the go a little bit more. I want to play on my Switch. And I realized... there's a fighting game on Switch that I've always wanted to play, but I've never played, and that's Pokken Tournament.
Okay, yeah.
Which was originally released for the Wii U, and I did technically buy it, and then I think sent it back 2 or 3 days later because I realized it was like some period in the history of this podcast when there was too much shit going on. I'm like, I don't have time to play you, Pokken Tournament. Yeah. I'm sorry. And now it's on the Switch as Pokken Tournament DX. And Best Buy had it on sale, and I'm like, I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to play that. And I feel like, because it's just like, it's a fighting game, it doesn't have like a huge story mode or anything. I can put this aside when Digimon comes out. I can come back to it whenever I want. It's a good on-the-go kind of game. That looks fun.
Yeah.
And I do really like fighting games when I can get into them. I tend to like more of the themed ones like this, or a Dragon Ball game or something like that, than I do like just a straight-up Street Fighter or something. Although within the series, my one series I do really like is Soul Calibur. But anyway, Pokken Tournament, it's always looked cool to me. I've always wanted to play it. Finally got the Switch version, because what I realized is that there was a demo that I had downloaded on my Switch and never played. And so I played a couple matches, and I'm like, okay, I really like this. I want to play this. And Pokken Tournament, I know I'm a couple months late to the Switch version, a couple years late to the game. It's a really great fighting game, and you should play it if you like Pokemon and you want to see them fight, but in a more cool way than they do in like the handheld RPG games. Pokken Tournament is really great. It definitely has that quality I think any good console fighting game should have, where it's very easy to learn and accessible in terms of like, it doesn't overwhelm you with figuring out how to play the damn thing, which I think is a problem with a lot of fighting games. This one is just, you can pick up, there's a lot of different things you can do, but they boil down into a couple clear, easy sets of moves. But then there's a lot of depth and strategy under the surface to that, and it has, as you say, a high skill ceiling. And so it's a lot of fun in that sense. And it's a true fighting game. Like, it only has, the DX version on Switch has extra fighters, but that still only comes out to 21 main Pokemon fighters in the game. And you realize very quickly that's okay, because they all play pretty differently. Like, same controls, but they are individual, distinct fighters. And that's one of the things I like in a good fighting game, is like everyone feels different enough that you can really sink your teeth into different fighters and kind of get to know different ones and find which ones you're attracted to more. Like, one of the issues, like, with some Dragon Ball games, for instance, is when they would have, like, 160 characters, and there's no discernible difference between any of them, and they have to make, like, Mr. Satan super powerful so you can go up against Goku, and there's just weird things like that. No, what they've done is they've picked 21 Pokemon. They're from throughout the series. It is something I appreciate, is that while I certainly have the nostalgia for the red and blue Pokemon and all of that, I don't need them to just do those Pokemon over and over again. And to be fair, there is now probably a bigger Pokemon audience that knows more Pokemon than just that, than people like us who have primary nostalgia for those. You know, so there are a couple of Pokemon in here where even if I've played the game they're in, I don't recognize them. But they're really cool fighters. Like, one of the things I did when I got the game is after I did the tutorial and a little bit of the main campaign. There's not really a story mode, but there's a single player sort of campaign to go through. A Pokemon League, shall we say. But once I was into that a little bit, I just went into the free battle mode and made sure I leveled up every Pokemon to at least level 2, so I got like a taste of every Pokemon in the game, and I could figure out like, okay, which Pokemon do I kind of want to main in this one so far, because for the campaign you kind of are encouraged to stick with one Pokemon throughout that. And it was really fun just going through and playing with each of the different Pokemon and using the different support sets. The way it works is, the battle system is, it's really creative. Like, you're in this one little arena, and so you have a set like space you're always in, and It switches between a 3D kind of over-the-shoulder perspective and a more traditional 2D back-and-forth sort of thing. And there's a whole mechanic around that called phase shift, where you want to shift in and out of those phases to deal different types of damage. And it gets very intuitive. It's a little confusing at first, but it makes sense. And that also alleviates the issue with, as I said, like 3D fighters, like some of the Dragon Ball games, where when you are in the 3D mode, it's not this giant arena where people can be behind a rock and you'll never see them.
Right.
It's much more direct, and you shift in and out of that so it doesn't become annoying. And then you have sort of a, you know, on Y, X, and A, different moves. You have sort of a short-range move, a long-range move, and a Pokemon move, which is like an actual, like you're going to use your leaf powers or your fire powers or something like that. And then those are also keyed to different directional buttons to do different combos. And then if you press X and A together, there's a counter move you can do, and if you press Y and B together, there's a grab move you can do, and there's a little like rock, paper, scissors triangle with grab, counter, and regular attacks where one beats the other and one is weak to the other. And once you get to know all of that, you really quickly realize that there's a lot of thought put into playing the combat, but there's also a lot of challenge when someone else is very good at it. So I haven't dipped into the online all that much, but I have played some of it. Very fast, snappy matchmaking. They actually do something similar to what you were saying, with, which is when you're in the lobby waiting for a match and like no one's showing up, they just throw you into a computer battle so you can just play with your Pokemon and get, you know, test some moves out before someone comes in. Although I'll say the matchmaking is so good, I've never had to be in a CPU match for more than like 5 seconds. Like, people come in really, really fast. So that's nice. And I think I've only won one online match of like the five I've played, but they've all been super fun, even when I'm getting my ass kicked, because you realize how much skill and strategy is involved, and it just, you get really into it, which is what you want out of one of these. Plus, it's super stylish. The Pokemon, the moves they do are so cool. They have these like special, like, you have a gauge that fills, as you do in fighting games, and when you fill the gauge, you can do a special burst move. Those are super cool. Like, one of the fighters in this is Pikachu Libre,
right,
which is Pikachu in a Lucha Libre outfit, and his finishing move is amazing because he like electroshocks you into the air, and then like the other Pokemon lands in like the middle of this like boxing ring, and Pikachu gets up on like the bars, and he's like bouncing on it going Pika Pika, and like getting the crowd all pumped, and then he jumps and like does like a wrestling match, like smash on the Pokemon's head. Those are just very, very fun, creative things. But again, it doesn't have the flash. It really has a lot of substance to it. So I'm having fun, and it definitely is a good kind of casual fighting game that you could get into, and I'm sure there's already an esports thing around all this. But it's good to just pick up and play. Perfect for the Switch. Looks great on the TV. Is really, really fun in handheld mode. Works great as a portable game. So I've been enjoying that while I'm waiting for the fighting game event of the year to come out.
Yeah, no. No, Dragon Ball FighterZ is a fucking thing. On Pokken Tournament, I brought up its Wikipedia page and looking at the list of Pokemon, it's like, fucking, I'm so old. Like, it makes me feel old because it's been so long.
Yeah.
That there's so many Pokemon from games I haven't played. I'm just going to read down the list of all of them because some of these names are fucking absurd. And so this is from the Switch version, so it has all the extra ones. You have Aegislash.
Yeah.
Don't know who that is. Blastoise, of course, classic. Blaziken, I think I know which one that is. Braxen, nope. Chandelure, nope.
Remind me to talk about Chandelure.
Okay, Charizard, of course, yes. Croagunk, don't know, don't want to know. That sounds like it's like a fucking like street drug. Like kids are really hot on that Croagunk these days. Empoleon, I assume, is some sort of Eevee evolution. I think is that like the dark one?
No, that's a penguin, Emperor Penguin.
Oh, never mind. They ruined it. They used up an Eevee evolution with the Empoleon. Darkrai and Decidueye.
Decidueye is my new main. It's a really fucking cool owl grass Pokemon from Sun and Moon. Did not really know it going in. It's got maybe the best moveset.
See, I thought it would be some sort of deciduous tree with an eye on it, was what I thought Decidueye was. Garchomp. Don't know what that is. That's a good name, though. Gardevoir. Nope. Gengar. Yes. Fucking Gengar. Yes. Lucario. Know that one. Machamp. Know that one. Mewtwo. Yep. Pikachu and Pikachu Libre, of course. Sceptile, I think that's one from Emerald, right? Is that
yes.
The one that's the grass one from Emerald? Okay, no Sceptile. Scizor, yes, I would just put Scyther in there, but...
Oh, Scizor's cool. Scizor's great.
Yeah, but Scyther is maybe the coolest Pokemon.
Scizor is even cooler.
Yes. Shadow Mewtwo. I don't know when he became Shadow. I don't know why Mewtwo needs a Shadow Mewtwo.
He's the evil boss in, like, the campaign.
But Mewtwo's already the evil boss of Pokemon. Why does he need a Shadow form? Suicune, of course, one of the legendary dogs. And then Weevil.
It's not a bug Pokemon. You should look that one up because it's funny. It's not what its name suggests.
Okay.
No, Chandelure. Okay. Chandelure is the chandelier Pokemon from, I think, like, Diamond and Pearl or something. It's when they, like, that's from the era with, like, the ice cream Pokemon and all those stupid ones where, like, Ken Sugimori took a nap and had an intern do it for a couple generations. But yeah,
or, like, or it's just like he ran out of ideas and was looking around his office and was like, oh, right, I had that ice cream cone like yesterday.
Chandelure is literally just a chandelier with eyes, like from Beauty and the Beast or something. And it, like, I love that the crazy people who made Pokken Tournament decided, you know what, there's like 800 Pokemon, we're going to do the chandelier one, because how the fuck do you adapt that to a fighting game? Chandelure is one of the, like, three or four best Pokemon in this game, in terms of, like, it's such an interesting one to fight as. It adapts to the controls of this game beautifully. It's really fun and addictive to play as Chandelure. It's got some of the coolest finishing animations. Chandelure is awesome in this, and I would not have predicted that. I rolled my eyes when I saw Chandelure on the roster. But that's one of the fun things about Pokken. Like, it's not an obvious roster. Like, right. They clearly had fun with it. Some of the Pokemon are lamer than others, but, like, they all play really interestingly and uniquely. Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, I looked up Weevil, and I don't know. I don't understand what it is.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's annoying when I meet it in combat, because it's a little fucker who can, like, dance around you and slash at you. So, anyway.
Krogunk is a weird-looking little frog dude.
Yeah, he's my least favorite to play as, but he's okay.
Stay off that Krogunk. It's good for you.
It's the main drug in the Pokemon world. But yeah, Pokken Tournament, super fun. I'm enjoying that because, you know, it's kind of like, everyone said this, but, like, since Pokemon Stadium, I think it's been everyone's dream to have a proper Pokemon fighting game on a console. Pokken Tournament, we finally have it. It's very good. It's very much an arcade game. It's an arcade cabinet in Japan, and it feels like that, I think, in good ways. But yeah, if you've wanted to play a game where you could, like, fight with Pokemon, understand, you know, this is the real world. They couldn't do it with all 800 Pokemon.
Right.
But with the ones they chose to do, it works very well and it's very fun. And it's another good little feather in the cap of the Nintendo Switch where even if you did own it on Wii U, no one else did.
Right.
On Switch, at least, there's an online audience of people who will play with you, and that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you own it on Wii U, you don't get to play as Krogunk. So what's the point?
Like, you don't
get to get that sweet, sweet Krogunk in your veins.
Sean, you want to do the news?
What's going on in the news, Jonathan?
All right, let's start with the Nintendo Direct, because it was kind of the main thing this week. This was on January 11th. There was the whole thing surrounding the Nintendo Direct, where people online went crazy because they were thinking there was going to be a Nintendo Direct in January, despite, like, Nintendo never saying anything, and, like, people were working themselves into knots trying to conspiracy theorize when this thing would be. People did properly tag that it would be January 11th, but even then, like, this clearly was a more casual event for Nintendo. This wasn't even a live stream. They just put the video on YouTube and then live tweeted as if it was airing. It was a weird thing, but on the plus side, I wasn't stressing out much about it, so on January 11th, I got to wake up and watch a fun 15-minute Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
And it was cool, and there's a lot of good stuff out of it. You want to go through all the announcements here?
Yeah.
All right. First one was one of the bigger surprises of this event is The World Ends With You, which is a famous Nintendo DS game that has one of the more rabid cult followings, is getting a remake called Final Remix. It's coming this year sometime for the Nintendo Switch. And while that game had heavy touchscreen controls, they are adapting it to work with normal controls as well, although you can still control it with the touchscreen in handheld mode. So sounds like a good adaptation. I've always wanted to play this game because it's super famous. Everyone loves it, but it's like one of those kind of below-the-radar classics, and I like that it's coming to Switch.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that they didn't release it on the Wii U first, because it's The World Ends With You, and they could have just, like, there's so much you could have done with that.
The World Ends Wii U.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the Wii U ended, that world ended in its own way. But yeah, I've always heard that game is, like, one of the best Square Enix RPGs that, like you said, just sort of coasted under the radar because it was on mobile platforms, but Yeah, that sounds like a cool... That's a cool get of bringing back an old game like that.
Absolutely. Here we had the announcement of Pokken Tournament getting new DLC, and this is actually what inspired me to go play the demo I had sitting on my Switch and then buy the game. Because the DLC... I mean, one, this is notable in that this is Pokken Tournament DX. This is the, you know, re-release for the Switch. The Wii U version never got DLC. It was dead on arrival. The Switch got 5 extra characters at launch, just on the cartridge, and now they're adding two more fighters. That's kind of weird that a re-release gets DLC, but the original didn't.
Right.
But they're doing it. It's a $15 like little season pass thing, and at the end of January, they're adding the fighter Aegislash. These were actually both on the list you read. They're not in the game yet. Aegislash is coming at the end of January, and then in March, we're getting Blastoise. And I will say, getting Blastoise in this game was a significant factor in me buying this game, because I so want to play as Blastoise. And I do want them to also add Venusaur at some point, so we have all three original starter evolutions. Also because I want to know how the fuck they adapt Venusaur, because I'm sure it would be cool.
Yeah.
But Blastoise, that's knowing how good Pokken Tournament is with its Pokemon, and that Blastoise is one of the most badass Pokemon, that's going to be cool.
Yes. Some might call it a tragedy that it wasn't in there from the start. That should have been like here's your like the first three Pokemon you make. Pikachu, Charizard, Blastoise. There you go. You can make the rest of the game now.
Pikachu, Charizard, Chandelure. Anyway, but yeah, Pokken Tournament's getting DLC. That's cool. Kirby Star Allies, which we've known about for a while. This is the Kirby game we've known was coming to Switch. Got a name announcement a few months ago. Now it got a date. It's coming March 16th. They gave us another little 1.5-minute tease. This game looks so good. I'm so excited for this. The Kirby team did such great work on the 3DS. Kirby Planet Robobot was in my top 10 2 years ago. You know, Kirby has always been kind of a stealth great series that not enough people play.
Yeah.
And their platformers are really good. I'm glad it's getting like a marquee title for, you know, home/portable, but with the power of a home console here. And I want to see what they do let loose like this. It's also going to be the first like multiplayer Kirby game. You can do it in co-op. This game looks amazing. I can't wait. And March 16th is its release date, and I am very excited to play it. This is a must-play for me.
Yeah, Kirby is definitely one of those Nintendo franchises that they tended to sort of, like, it was, like, shoved at the end of console lifespans and, like didn't get the advertisement that, like, a big marquee like Mario or Zelda would get. But it is, I think it has always been one of the more interesting Nintendo franchises. I'm glad that they're getting, like, a major Kirby game out, like, early in the Switch. So hopefully it has, like, enough attention on it.
Yeah, and it doesn't look phoned in or anything. It looks really creative. The imagery just looks fun. It looks like it has a lot of good ideas. And I do think the idea of the co-op element is fun. Like, Nintendo's done that a lot since the Wii era with, like, New Super Mario Bros. Wii added co-op. And then the Donkey Kong games had it. And I think it's cool that Kirby's going to get that.
Yeah.
All right, now we start the March of Wii U ports, which is Hyrule Warriors is getting a definitive edition. Not dated, but sometime in spring 2018. I'm actually very excited about this because I enjoyed Fire Emblem Warriors a lot. I've never played Hyrule Warriors. The Wii U version is long out of print, and I don't want to play the 3DS version because it doesn't look good. But this has all the content from both versions, plus some extras. So it is truly definitive. They've put all the stuff back in, and it will be on Switch, and I am happy. I want to play Hyrule Warriors. And it also sounds like they've implemented some little things they added to Fire Emblem Warriors. Like, in Fire Emblem Warriors, they added that you could switch characters on the map on the fly. That apparently was not in Hyrule Warriors. They've gone back and added that.
Cool.
So, cool. That's there are a lot of Wii U ports on here. They're all games I would want to play, though. They're not lazy Wii U ports.
Sure.
So,
I mean, it is that... I mean, everybody has noticed... The Wii U did not sell very well.
No.
The Wii's, like, the Switch is already more successful than the Wii U. Already.
Yeah. Like, they'd be crazy if they weren't putting these out.
Yeah, like, I know that, like, people like to bitch and moan about them, like, remastered games, but I think it's... I like to see old games coming back and being updated and being available. Because they, like, games get, like, lost to history so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have those things available in modern formats.
It's also materially different here in that, like, Hyrule Warriors will... unquestionably sell more here than it did on the Wii U. Like, this is a new game to most people who own a Switch.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the fact of the matter. Same with everything else we'll talk about. Like, some of these games were probably major financial losses for Nintendo. This is where they're going to make their money back, you know? Mario Kart 8 was a huge hit on Wii U, and it still, I think, has sold more on Switch. Like, there's no ceiling here, so it makes sense. All right, we did have a new game announcement next. Mario Tennis Aces, also for spring 2018. A lot of stuff coming out. This is our first Mario Sports title for the Switch, and it looks pretty cool. It's a Mario Tennis game, but it also has a full story mode for the first time since Mario Tennis on the GBA. Looks pretty fun. One of the clips they showed in the trailer was like a boss fight where the piranha flower is throwing fireballs at you, and you use your tennis racket to hit it back at the piranha. So I think they know what's up. That's exciting. I like Mario Sports games when I play them. I probably have not played one since the Wii, but this one looks like it has more reason to play, so that's cool.
Sure, cool.
East 8, Lacrimose of Dana. which is a great title.
Yeah.
In the Ys series. How do you say that?
I think, I'm pretty sure it's Ys.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't think it's wise.
This came out late last year for PS4. Very acclaimed JRPG that had apparently a lot of translation issues in the West. But those are getting fixed, and a Nintendo Switch version of Ys 8 is coming. So that's neat, seeing a lot more JRPGs getting on the Switch train, which I think that's going to become a wave at some point. Because looking at how well the Nintendo Switch has sold in Japan in particular, the PS4 has kind of had a monopoly on JRPGs for a couple years now. I think that's probably going to break. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, the next time something like a Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth comes around, or the next time there's a Ni No Kuni-style thing, I imagine that's going to have to be also on the Switch. I can't imagine they're going to be able to keep a death grip on that, on Sony, yeah. Just because the Switch, I think people want JRPGs on it, so it's cool that's coming out.
Yeah, I went to the Ys Wikipedia page just to sort of confirm the pronunciation. It is pronounced Ys. I also noticed, I'm going to read to you, Jonathan, the list of consoles that games from the Ys series have appeared on. The X1, don't know what that is. The X1 Turbo, the FM-777, the FM-77AV, the NEC PC-9801, the X68000, the Master System, the Sega Mega Drive, the Sega Saturn, the Famicom, the Super Famicom, Nintendo DS, PC, Apple IIgs, PlayStation 2, PlayStation Portable, PlayStation Vita, PlayStation 4, TurboGrafx CD, mobile phone, and the Wii's Virtual Console Service, and now the Nintendo Switch.
For a while there, it sounded like you were reading the names of androids from Star Trek.
It's like three lines of text is the number of just the list of consoles. I knew that Ys was an old JRPG series. I didn't realize it was quite that old. That was appearing on like PCs whose names I'd never even heard of before, like the X1 Turbo.
Well, if you want to get into it, Ys 8, again called Lacrimose of Dana, which is a great title, is coming to the Nintendo Switch this summer. Super Mario Odyssey is getting free DLC this February with a small role for Luigi, who was tragically just completely omitted from the base game, where you hide and then go find balloons with other players online. Like, the whole mode is you go talk to Luigi, and you can either find a balloon someone has hidden in that kingdom and then get a little reward, or you can go hide a balloon for other people to find. So it's like one of those little kind of passive online modes that a lot of games have these days. They're also going to be adding some new costumes for free DLC. Sounds pretty cool. I would still love the announcement of paid DLC, which I very rarely say about games, but I want more Mario Odyssey. Still, this seems like it'll be fun for the kids.
Yeah.
And Luigi has something to do, so that's nice. Good to know he's not dead.
It's nice that they have a nice, highly rendered Luigi model for the Nintendo Switch.
Yes. I do not know what this is, but SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy is coming summer 2018. What's SNK?
That's a fighting game franchise.
Okay.
Or it's like a video game company that like has like that's like King of Fighters and Fatal Fury,
okay.
Garo, like all those series are under the SNK banner.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was Capcom versus SNK before they started doing Marvel versus Capcom games.
All right. Well, the women of SNK are getting their own fighting game.
So if you want to play as Mai, that's where you go, I guess.
Okay.
That's an SNK reference.
Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle is getting a new DLC campaign with Donkey Kong as a new playable character coming spring 2018. This is definitely what I wanted out of DLC for Mario plus Rabbids. Like, they did one batch already, didn't really interest me. Now we're just, like, full on getting more levels, a new character to play as in Donkey Kong, and the, like, one-minute teaser video for this was fucking awesome, where Donkey Kong comes in and, like, has fun with the Rabbids, and it does this fun, like, Rabbid version of the Donkey Kong theme. That made me smile. I'm excited to play this.
I hope he has his just big coconut gun from Donkey Kong 64.
That'd be pretty great. That'd be pretty great. Payday 2 is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Right. They Payday 2 the Heist.
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah. They showed a trailer. It's coming February 27th. Do people still care about Payday 2? That's an old game at this point.
That's a very old game. Yeah, like, I wonder if Keanu Reeves is in it, because that was, they did a John Wick DLC for Payday 2.
Oh, right.
Back on the PC.
Like, I know this is a popular game, and people like it, and it's cool, it's coming to Switch. Yeah. It's just, like, if I was ever going to play this, that date, time has passed.
Yeah, it was released 13 August 2013, so it is a five-year-old game this August.
Yes. All right, well, if you want to play it on Switch, you can. Yes. Then they showed off two indie games that look really good, that are multi-platform, but I had not seen big looks at either of these yet. On February 16th, we're getting Fae, which is this interesting, like, it's got like a very colorful, painterly sort of art style. I couldn't quite tell what kind of game it is, but that's frequent of indie games.
Right.
It looks very good. This is where we had not had a release date yet, but it is coming on February 16th for the Switch, the PS4, everything, you know? That looks very good. And then also Celeste, which is a sort of pixel art game, which looks very interesting as well, is coming January 25th to all those consoles. Looks like it'll be right at home on the Switch. Both of those are indie games that look great, and I'm happy to see that the Switch, for now at least, like reliably indie games are coming there as well as everywhere else, which they should be. Just sometimes, like, the Wii U and the 3DS had obviously been passed over for a lot of that, so it's nice that they've got a good lockdown on that. But both of those games look cool. We got the announcement of Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze being coming to the Wii U.
Right.
This is one of the Wii U ports that makes the most sense to me, because Tropical Freeze was one of the most critically acclaimed games of its year when it came out.
Yeah.
And nobody played it. Nobody. Like, it, that is one of the biggest Nintendo bombs ever if you look at the sales figures. Like, I don't think it came close to breaking a million. And even in the Wii U era, Nintendo, like, first-party games tended to break a million. Like, it did not sell. And people are always talking about it. I actually own... They put it out in the Nintendo Selects line for like $20, and I have not really gotten into it. I would like to. Might rebuy it on Switch, because it looks like a better way to play it. That's coming out May 4th, and they've added a new mode with Funky Kong, which is basically a glorified easy mode, but an easy mode with style, because Funky Kong's cool, and you like surf over everything. But it looks neat. I look forward to finally maybe playing this game, because... people have talked about it to death, and it's just cool that, like, this game died an ignominious death on Wii U.
Yeah.
It now has the chance to live on the Nintendo Switch. And I'm also interested to see, like, you know, if this sells well on Switch, which it totally could, that probably influences what they'll do with Donkey Kong in the future. Because I have to imagine that brand is sort of on hold for the moment, because Tropical Freeze failing on Wii U isn't so much an indictment of Donkey Kong. Like, Donkey Kong Country Returns on the Wii sold, like, 7 million copies, so it can do well. But I think it would be nice. They're probably going to have to see how it does on a supported console.
Maybe they'll finally make it Donkey Konga 2.
That would be interesting.
Yes.
Yes. They could do it where, like, you just shake the Joy-Cons like they're drums.
No. No, they need to sell you a drum kit.
Okay.
Or they need to buy, like, all the unused drum kits from Rock Band and sell those and sell Donkey Konga 2.
I think there was a Donkey Konga 2.
Was there?
I'm going to look that up.
There's no fucking way they made a Donkey Konga
2. I think there is a Donkey Konga 2.
That's like making a Hey You Pikachu 2.
Yep, there's a Donkey Konga 2.
There's a Donkey Konga 3!
There is?
There's a Donkey Konga 3. It is a music video game of the Donkey Kong series developed by Namco and published by Nintendo. Before the second installment was released in North America, Nintendo and Namco had already started plans for the third game of the series, which, unlike the first two Donkey Konga games, was eventually released only in Japan in early 2005. Donkey Konga 3 features a total of 57 tracks.
So, Sean, if they made another Donkey Konga, it would be Donkey Konga 4.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
They should make a Donkey Konga 5. It just confused the shit out of everybody.
All right. And finally, one of... other people apparently were not surprised by this. I kind of was. Dark Souls Remastered is coming to the Nintendo Switch on May 25th. And this was actually the formal unveiling of Dark Souls Remastered itself, which is a project From Software is doing. They've remastered Dark Souls. It's coming to all the consoles and PC, so PS4 and Xbox One as well. On the other systems, it's a 60 FPS version of Dark Souls. On the Switch, it's limited to 30 FPS like the original version, but is still in full 1080p on the TV. Very cool, evocative little teaser trailer, and I have to give them props. Have you seen the cover art for this game, Sean?
Yeah.
One of my favorite box arts ever. And I think this is pretty cool. You're the Dark Souls expert,
yes,
though. What do you think about Dark Souls coming to a Nintendo platform, let alone the Switch?
I look forward, is a weird word. I dread the eventual news story of, like, this tragic bus accident that happens because someone's playing Dark Souls on the Nintendo Switch on the bus and gets killed by fucking, like, Ornstein and Smough for the 20th time. They just, fuck you, motherfucker! They throw the Switch at the back of the bus driver's head.
It will probably happen.
Yeah, like Dark Souls is one of the best games on the Xbox 360 and PS3. I think it is very smart to remaster it. I mean, I think the reason why people weren't necessarily super surprised is because the remastered version of Dark Souls was heavily rumored for about a year or so now. So I was expecting a Dark Souls remastered because it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One as well.
I just wasn't expecting it on Switch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to see how it sells on the Switch. I'm curious to see if, like, that, if people gravitate to it there. Like, it is off in, like, my gut says I would not play that game outside of my home. I would not. Yeah. I would not want to. I would be too stressed out. I'd be worried about how I'd look to other people. But you know, but obviously, like, you know, Switch doesn't have to be a game on the Switch doesn't necessarily have to be amazing portable. It can also just be a good home game. Also, so
yeah, and also like. The other thing is that, like, one of the things I like about the Switch's portability is just taking it to another room, not necessarily taking it outside on the bus and stuff.
You don't want Dark Souls to get anywhere else in your house but the one room it's in. You don't want it. You don't want, like, you want to be able to leave that room and have Dark Souls just be in that room, and you don't have to think about it. When Dark Souls is in your living room, you've got a fucking problem. When Dark Souls is in your bedroom, you've got a severe problem. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll say this. You know, I have been super interested in Dark Souls for a long time because a lot of people love it. Specifically, my friend and co-host Sean loves it.
Yes.
And talks about, you have talked about Dark Souls a lot. I have listened to you talk about Dark Souls a lot. I have tried it a little bit. I've tried Bloodborne a little bit. Didn't really get into it. I think Remastered coming out for Switch, that seems like an opportunity for me to make an honest effort with Dark Souls. And I would really like to. And I think this sounds like a fun way to do it.
Yes.
Whether I play it on Switch ultimately, or even, like, maybe I'll just get it on PS4. But, like, whatever the case, like, it's nice now that all three Dark Souls will be on the same generation of systems.
Yeah.
Because 2 was actually originally on 360, but they brought it over with that Scholar of the First Sin or something.
Yeah.
So they're all on there. That's nice, the whole trilogy. Cool that they're doing this. Very cool it's on Switch. I would not be surprised if this winds up being the highest-selling version of Dark Souls Remastered, given what we've seen from, like, third-party ports on the Switch that you would not expect to be that intuitive, like Doom and stuff, that have done really, really well.
Yeah.
Like, there was a tweet the other day, Super Meat Boy came out for the Nintendo Switch. That game is, like, 10 years old now. It was one of the 360 arcade titles back in the day. And the director of that game said, Switch sales in the first week of Meat Boy were almost as high as they were on the 360 launch day.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Like, it shows you that a lot of Switch owners, they just don't own other systems, or they're not playing games on them.
I mean, so, for something like Super Meat Boy, that's so old that, like, someone might have been 8 years old when Super Meat Boy came out, and they're, like, in high school now.
Yeah, you know?
So
absolutely.
It's, like, they're the right age to play that game.
But anyway,
that game is fucking hard.
Yeah, so a lot of cool announcements here. I want to play a lot of the stuff on this list. Like, May seems pretty great for ports, because we're getting Donkey Kong and Dark Souls, and I want to play both of those. Even if I don't play Dark Souls, I kind of just want to buy it to have that box on my shelf, because the cover art is so fucking good. But anyway.
And just to say that you own Dark Souls on a Nintendo platform.
I know.
What a weird thought that is.
Because people even drug out a quote, like, from the time of Dark Souls 2, where someone from From Software said, like, the Wii U is a kiddie system, we don't want to put our shit on there. And it's like, it's just, you know, a lot of people were saying that about the Wii U, and the real answer was, because no one owns it.
Yes.
But yes. Anyway, I think it's cool. Good Nintendo Direct. I mean, it, you know, if you were expecting, like, this is where we're going to learn about Smash Brothers and Pokemon and all the other news and, like, the new Fire Emblem, it's like, that wasn't going to happen here. Those games are, they might be this year, but they're well on the horizon. That's just not how Nintendo does things, generally.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, we had longer lead times on, but that's Mario and Zelda. And even Mario Odyssey was, less than 1 year lead time. So, you know, they're not going to announce stuff until they're ready to. But I think for this shows that, because this was all through spring. Like, this is all through May. Very busy first half of the year, and a lot of stuff I'm excited to play, a lot of support for existing games. I think they know what they're doing right now with the Switch, is my conclusion.
Well, they mostly know until they announce Donkey Kong 5. The sequel to the non-existent Donkey Kong 4.
It's just an empty box.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. One announcement that for some reason wasn't in the Nintendo Direct, and the only reason I can think is because this is a 3DS game and they didn't talk about the 3DS at this Nintendo Direct, but they could have. There was no law. Detective Pikachu.
Yes.
Is finally coming west, years after it took the island nation of Japan by storm.
Yeah. In anticipation of the surely-to-be-successful Hollywood adaptation.
Starring fucking Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, which I don't want to see that. That'll scar me in a way I don't think I can understand.
I wonder if they can get him for this game.
They haven't. The trailer does not have Ryan Reynolds in it. Anyway, Detective Pikachu is coming to America on the Nintendo 3DS March 23rd, so we are finally getting Detective Pikachu. I've heard it's a really good game from people who've played it in Japanese. It's a cool little, like, you know, puzzle, detective, you know, solving, mystery solving game. I guess it was episodic in Japan. Here, it's just one game on a 3DS cart or download. So a normal $40 release, but looks pretty cool. It's fully voiced and localized in English, which is probably what part of the holdup was with this. And we are also getting a giant Detective Pikachu amiibo. Have you seen the pictures of that?
Yes. Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing if I can get a pre-order on that, because it looks kind of fun. But yeah, so that's coming out. I think that's cool.
Yes, that was one of those games of where I was always confused about what happened to it. So I'm happy that it's coming over. We deserve Detective Pikachu in the West.
It just was weird to me. Like, they had this, you know, Nintendo Direct, and it had, you know, some interesting surprises in it. But the biggest surprise of all of this is Detective Pikachu finally coming out, and it was just a random press release like 2 days later.
Yeah.
It's just a, you know, Nintendo's good at Nintendo. I'm glad we're finally getting it, and one little bone for the 3DS is neat. So, excited for that.
Yes.
Another video game announcement, and also a remaster. This one's kind of weird. Assassin's Creed Rogue, which is the Assassin's Creed game that came out with Unity in the second year of the new generation consoles, current generation now.
Yes.
That was the 360 PS3 sequel to Assassin's Creed Black Flag, but was not on the Xbox One PS4, because that was the year we had Assassin's Creed Unity, which everyone hated, but there was this small subset of people, basically reviewers who were assigned to it, who had to play Assassin's Creed Rogue and were like, this game's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've always heard, this game's pretty good. It's the sequel to Black Flag we've always wanted but never got.
Yeah.
And it is getting a remaster for the Xbox and the PS4, coming out March 20th. March is very busy, as we will talk about soon, but I would like to play Assassin's Creed Rogue. I love Black Flag. I've always wanted to play this one. I thought I would just get it on Xbox because it's actually on their backwards compatibility.
Right.
But now that there's a proper remaster, that's probably how I'll play it. Probably play it on PS4. And that's neat. I'm glad it's finally coming out. It does feel a little past its time in some ways because, you know, this is an old Assassin's Creed game now.
Yeah.
And they've, like, completely redone the combat system
and
stuff. Yeah,
it's the thing of where, like, they announced that, and my first reaction is like, oh, cool, yeah. So, like, I've always kind of wanted to play that one. Maybe I'll get this. And then I went and started playing Assassin's Creed Origins, and I was like, oh, right. Like, if this was last year, I'd be super stoked for this. I think it'd be kind of hard to go back to, like, I think the boat stuff would still be cool and kind of novel. But to the rest of it, I think it'd be really hard for me to go back to old Assassin's Creed at this point.
Yeah, I'm super curious. You know, this is one I would like to make time for sometime this year. Because I've always wanted to play it. But, yeah, like, why wasn't this the holiday Assassin's Creed in 2016?
Yeah, you had this empty year of Assassin's Creed, and it's just like, you just, like, put this one out for, like, if people are diehard Assassin's Creed fans, there's no other game in the franchise competing with it, well, and you can just play it.
Yeah, and I was saying 2016, they did do the Ezio Trilogy remaster that year.
Sure.
But I think Rogue would presumably sell better because no one played it. Like,
yeah.
The Ezio Trilogy, like, I think most Assassin's Creed fans played Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, Revelations.
Yeah.
Some people got famously burned by one of them.
Yes.
Such as Sean Chapman, co-host of the Weekly Stuff podcast. But most people in this generation didn't get to play Rogue. I don't know why that wasn't a, because, like, you could have just marketed it as a new game. No one would have fucking known.
Yeah, it's sort of the same situation with some of those Wii U games, like Tropical Freeze. It's like, nobody played it, so it's basically you have this brand new game to most people just sitting on your shelves. If you put it out there, like a nice little remaster, make it worth people's time, and just sort of like market it properly, they're going to just fucking buy it if they're Assassin's Creed fans.
I just imagine, like, at some point last year, someone at Ubisoft was like, there was something on their to-do list at some point was Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. And, like, I don't know, they were eating lunch and, like, ketchup got on that part of it. And, like, for a year they didn't clean it off. They're like, oh shit, clean that off. Oh, fuck, I forgot to do that. Let's get that out there.
No, like how I imagine it is, like there's, like, one guy who's, like a lead producer at Ubisoft who's, like, it was his job of, like, we've got this remaster, we just need to release it. It is, like, we just need you to do this one thing. And then they got, like, sidetracked with Assassin's Creed Origins. And then, like, 2 weeks ago, he, like, woke up in the middle of the night, motherfucker! Motherfucker, this bit has, like, sitting in the back of my head for 2 years.
Yes.
And, oh my god. Release the trailer, we're putting it out. Well, we're putting it out tomorrow, Steve.
It's finally coming. Alright, moving away from video games, let's talk about movies and TV. Some superhero news. Fox has shuffled around the dates for some of its X-Men movies. One of these is not notable really at all. One of them is very notable.
Yeah.
So Deadpool 2, which is coming out this summer, moved from June 1st to May 18th, which is a real like power move because they moved it out of a somewhat not busy month into the middle, like sandwiched between the new Avengers and the new Han Solo Star Wars movie, which will not be coming out in May. I'll just put my mark on that.
No, yeah.
But anyway, and if it does, be worried. Anyway, so they've put it right there in that like prime May real estate. So clearly they are confident in the power of Deadpool 2. Meanwhile, The New Mutants, which is the movie we talked about a couple months ago because it had that trailer that didn't look bad. It was just surprising because it was such a horror movie trailer.
Yeah.
That movie has... It was coming out this April 2018, and it has been pushed back all the way to February 22nd, 2019, almost a full year delay. This is something you very rarely see in Hollywood, especially when release dates have been staked out that far in advance. From what I kind of looked this up because I was trying to feel like, were there rumors around this? Like, what's going on? And it sounds like executives actually do like the movie, and what they want to do is maybe go back in and make it even more of a horror movie. Because I guess they liked the reaction to that first trailer. They think it would do well if it leaned more into its sort of genre, which other X-Men movies have done well with recently, like Logan and kind of the neo-Western and Deadpool with the R-rated comedy stuff. So it sounds like they are going to use this time to massage the movie a little bit. It doesn't sound like they're trying to bury it. In years past, moving it to a February, a year off, would very much sound like they're trying to kill the movie. That's not the case anymore. A lot of different months that used to be dead are now coming back to life. Like Black Panther is a February release, and I think that's going to burn the house down. Like that's going to be a big movie. So that could be a sign of confidence. Just very strange. You very rarely see like a full... Like there are posters for this out in theaters. It was coming out, you know, weeks from now, April.
Yeah.
So kind of crazy, but yeah, full year delay for the New Mutants.
Yeah, it was especially like that, the one trailer that they released was such a like complete feeling trailer. Like even if it was like the direction of it was surprising, it felt like a trailer to a movie that could have been out a month after the release of that trailer. Like it felt very finished. So yeah, I was really shocked at first. But I do think like assuming that like everything they've said about that like leaning into the direction is all true, which is a big assumption, but just assuming that, I think that's probably a smart choice. I think like that's, I think that makes sense of that, like the one thing that Fox has, I mean, this is a whole weird conversation now because Fox got bought by Disney.
That could be the other reason this got pushed, but yeah.
Yeah, but like the one thing that I guess the X-Men movies have is that they can like lean into weirder genre things that are a bit outside of where Marvel is going and certainly where Warner Brothers is going, which is nowhere. But yeah, like Logan was very distinct. Deadpool was very distinct. And that trailer for the New Mutants was extremely distinct. And I think that's a smart strategy when you have this huge, huge amount of superhero movies coming out every single year. You need something that makes those movies stand apart. And if, you know, if they're doing that to sort of like to fortify that side of the movie, that's probably a decent choice.
The other thing that like that's the spin I've been hearing. It could be completely false. But taking that off the table, like let's pretend the movie was locked and finished and they just delayed it. One parallel I would say is that Warner Brothers did this back in the day with Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. It was supposed to be a November release, got pushed to July, and at the time that happened, the movie was literally picture locked. Like it was done in a vault somewhere. And it was just Warner, but it was supposed to come out in 2008. They pushed it to 2009 because The Dark Knight had done so well in 2008. They said, our bottom line is fine. Let's put Harry Potter out next year and have a better fiscal year, 2009. And that's why they did that. I think that could be a similar reasoning for the New Mutants. If the New Mutants came out this year, there would be three X-Men movies this year. There'd be the New Mutants, there'd be Deadpool 2, and then X-Men...
Dark Phoenix,
yeah, whatever they're calling it, which is supposed to come out like in November. And it probably does make sense to not bunch all those into the same year. Again, not sure how much Fox needs to worry about their bottom line right now, but I think pushing it to February, making it next year's issue, and then also being able to market it out of Deadpool 2 and out of X-Men Dark Phoenix, which are probably going to be bigger movies, they can build the hype a little more. So, makes sense from a couple different directions. Just surprising, you don't see that much.
Yeah. Usually, like you said, like usually when a movie gets its release date, it has its release date.
When it hits its trailer, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that's happened. Let's see. Black Panther had a new TV spot during a football game, and it was more like a trailer, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen, and I can't wait for that movie.
Yes, it is out very soon.
I cannot wait.
Me too.
Anyway, Black Panther, so good. So the Television Critics Press Tour, TCA Press Tour was this week, or is ongoing, and Star, there's a lot of interesting news out of that, we're not going to go into all of it. Hulu has all of ER now, and I'm definitely threatening to break my Doctor Who rewatch to go watch ER, because it's great. Ugh. But I will, don't worry, I'll stick with the, I don't want to pay for Hulu right now,
yeah.
So I'll stick with Doctor Who. I'll eventually get to ER. Anyway, something for this podcast that's interesting is that this has been rumored for a while, but a John Wick TV series has been ordered at Starz called The Continental, named for the hotel where John Wick and his assassin buddies hang out and do their assassinating. Well, no, they're actually not supposed to do it at The Continental, yeah. But, you know, there's a twist at the end of John Wick 2. Anyway, Chris Collins, who has worked on some other shows, which I forget now, but they're out there. He will be the showrunner and head writer. And all the people involved with John Wick are producing. Keanu Reeves, Chad Stahelski, David Leitch, writer Derek Kolstad are all producing. And Keanu Reeves may show up as a guest star in a couple episodes, but he will not be the main character. This will be more about the world of John Wick rather than the character John Wick. I saw sort of split reactions to this, and it's split along the lines of people who like the assassin mythology stuff in John Wick and the people who, like, tolerate that, but it's not what they come to the movie for. I like that side of John Wick. I think it's one of the most unique things about it. And I think this could be fun. I'm glad it's on Starz. They can kind of do whatever they want, make it R-rated. I think if you get someone who has similar sensibilities to the team that's done the movies, you could have fun with this.
Yeah.
And if you can get at least one of the characters from the John Wick universe to be like a regular, like Lance Reddick or, God, what's his name? From Deadwood. Ian McShane.
Right,
someone
yeah.
like that. Like, some of these are big names that I don't know if they could get. But someone to kind of hold down the fort. It would be, I think, a fun thing to do. I would almost like to see this as like an anthology show where a different assassin comes in each week. But we don't have any other details besides that. But it is getting made, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, it is, like you, I love the weird lore and mythology and world building of the John Wick movies. It's one of the best parts of them. And so I think there's a lot of room for a really cool TV show. Whether or not that's the TV show that's going to be made is up in the air. But it is not, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Like,
no.
it is something of when you say, like, John Wick TV show, and I'm also with you, like, I would go lean anthology direction, like the mind just sort of, like, goes to wonderful places, I think. It's like, there's so much cool room to tell stories in that universe, especially if you get to have, like, an eclectic cast of characters.
Yeah, like, I don't want, like, some Keanu Reeves knockoff who, like, is our new main character, and, like,
yeah.
His wife is also dead, and his dog also died.
No, it's not his dog, it's his gerbil.
It's just, yeah, something
it's,
like
it's,
that.
It's, like, relative to the TV budget.
Yes, relative to the TV budget, and he's getting revenge, and, like, you know, it's some Australian dude doing an American accent, because that's who they can afford. Like, I don't want that. I want, like, an actual, like, show that, like, builds stuff. And, I think an anthology thing would be cool. But, you know, Starz does good stuff. They fly under the radar. But, like, the last time they adapted a movie was The Girlfriend Experience, which was, I've not seen the second season that just aired, but whenever the first season aired, which I think was 2016, I think I called that the best TV show that year. I think that's one of the best TV shows of the decade. Great just work of TV art. And, you know, who knows? Maybe John Wick will be as well. Very different kind of thing. Probably people getting less naked on it, but you never know.
But, you know, it's Starz that can do what it wants.
They
if you
want to
just have naked people assassinating each other, I'm sure there's
I actually think, that. Given how much the Girlfriend Experience TV show is about, like, city skylines and people in skyscrapers, you know, doing stuff in office buildings, I think we need to have a crossover where one of the, you know, Girlfriend Experience ladies goes on an assassination mission.
There you go.
Absolutely. Anyway, yeah, that's happening. Interesting.
Very interesting.
All right, here's a bit of Doctor Who news.
What's
and it's
going
not
on the world
really news, because it's just speculation at this point, but a weird listing has popped up. Best Buy first listed this, and then a couple of other smaller retailers like FYE listed this as well, and the title of this product is Doctor Who, : Tom Baker, - The Complete First Season. There is no other details other than that it's a Blu-ray. No official release listings, no announcement, no word on this from the UK, which is the thing that makes me most suspicious of it. But it's listed for release on March 20th. It has an MSRP of $59.99. Are they going to start doing Doctor Who Blu-ray season releases for the classic show? this does sort of make sense to start with some Tom Baker stuff, because that's popular, and it's harder to start with, like, William Hartnell, because a lot of it's missing. This is weird. And there's no word on what it is.
Yeah, no, like, I hope it's that they're just sort of updating some of those. And it's, I think that's where I would start. Like, I would say, like, that's a fucking hell of a season.
Yes.
There's a lot of really good stuff in there. Tom Baker's obviously the most famous classic Doctor from the series, so I hope this is, like, updated, like, you know, sort of quote-unquote remastered versions of those stories on Blu-ray.
And it's complicated, though, because there's only so much you can remaster. It's like, you know, especially Tom Baker's first season, they're going to call this Tom Baker the Complete First Season. It's actually season 12. It's a weird thing. But season 12, Robot might have some stuff on 16mm. The rest of that season is 100% videotape. Even the Santarin experiment, which is all on location, was famously the first Doctor Who shot completely on video.
Yeah.
Or location shooting completely on video. So, like, that's the first time they took their video cameras outdoors and did it like that. So, and even when you have Doctor Who that has 16mm elements, often those elements are lost. We only have what was copied to the videotapes, so sometimes you can't actually go back in. When you can, you have to completely re-edit the episodes because they're not edited. Like, the 16mm is raw. So there's a lot of complicating factors here. It would be a lot of work. For most of classic Doctor Who, which is the vast majority exists only on videotape, the gains you would get on a Blu-ray are very, very modest, mostly to stability. The DVDs, by and large, which I've been collecting, look great, and I can't really imagine in most cases that a Blu-ray would be worth the upgrade. Now, if you've never owned those, it is nice to do season sets so they're easier to own.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who DVD releases were famously very, very comprehensive. They all have commentaries, they have text tracks, they have isolated scores, they have mountains of bonus features. You would hope all of that carries over. Like, honestly, what I would be more interested in, personally, is just DVD box sets. Like, take the DVDs that exist and just put them in fucking season sets or something. Or in some cases, full Doctor sets. Like, the 7th Doctor you could do in one set.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah, and the 6th, like, 5, 6, and 7 you could all do in one set. 4 you would have to break it up a little bit. But, like, seasons would be perfectly reasonable. I don't know if the Blu-ray really would be worth it, but I would have to hear what their actual plans are. It's a fascinating thing.
I mean, it would just be, you know, just with, like, the extra memory storage on a Blu-ray disc that alone, like, there's a convenience to that. You could just put more shit on there, and it's easier than to do a season set with all those stories. But yeah. Like,
that is, I will say, I'm getting to the end of season 14, which is the last Hinchcliffe-Holmes season, and I'll have to decide whether that or season 12 is better. Season 12, which is all linked together, Robot, Ark in Space, Santarin Experiment, Genesis of the Daleks, Revenge of the Cybermen, that is an amazing season of TV.
Yeah.
And even if that's, like, the only one they ever do, probably worth looking at because that's just an amazing season.
Yeah.
And they should really just throw Terror of the Zygons in that set as well. It's not technically from that season. It should be.
Yeah.
Anyway. I wanted to mention this because I, you know, who knows? This could also completely be a listing mistake.
Yeah, or it could be something of, like, it could be, like, what you're saying of just, like, they put some, like, DVDs together and just said, like, oh, here's, you know, you can just buy this box.
Yeah.
That's, like, a small collection of all the DVDs from that season.
Yeah, so who knows? But, yeah, I'm more interested to see if any word on this comes out from the UK, because there's never been a case where the US has done a release without the UK. And the Doctor Who DVD team had broken up for a while because they'd done all the stories. But, you know, Shada happened recently. Power of the Daleks happened a couple years ago. They're clearly getting back into the groove of, like, that business for physical media still exists. And I think they're trying to satiate that. So this would be an interesting direction. It's also, as many people pointed out, completely possible that this is a re-release of the first season with Christopher Eccleston. And the Tom Baker in the headline is an error because he's the most famous person associated with the show.
Entirely possible.
Entirely possible. That has technically already come out on Blu-ray over here, but it was pretty limited, so who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. Alright, you want to move on, Sean?
What are we moving on to, Jonathan?
You want to do a 2018 preview?
I think it's about time that we look ahead, Jonathan, and figure out what is happening in this, what might be our last year on Earth.
Yes. I have only done this for video games. I've not done this for TV and movies because there's a lot you could go into with movies, and, you know, we all know what looks good. And also, like, with movies, this happens with video games sometimes too, but video games have longer lead times a lot of the time. A lot of the movies that we're going to say are the best of 2018, we probably haven't heard of yet. That's how it frequently happens. So we're all excited for Black Panther. We're all excited for Avengers. There's going to be a Star Wars movie that's probably going to suck, and it might not come out this year.
For me, the biggest question mark is, when does that Solo A Star Wars Story movie come out? Because it's supposed to come out in a couple of months, and there's not even a trailer.
Yeah.
So.
No. And they just finished shooting it. There's rumors they're going to go back for another round of reshoots. It's, yeah. Anywho. But let's talk about video games. Because I have a list of release dates. I do this for myself, where I create a little video game calendar, and I put on things that I am directly interested in, things I am peripherally interested in, just to kind of keep track of things throughout the year, because I co-host a podcast, and it helps me know when things are coming, and also know when I need money by, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so I have this, and I'm going to go through it, but as with most years, we don't have release dates for everything, and in fact, release dates pretty much peter out after May. January, February, March, very, very busy, and everything's set. Past that, things are still much more nebulous, and there's a long list of games. Okay, let's put it this way. There's a list of games, some of which we know are going to come out in 2018, even if we don't have a date. There's a list of games we're pretty sure are going to come out in 2018, even if we don't have a date. And then we have a bunch of games where there's a bunch of dirty, rotten liars who have said it's coming out in 2018, even though we all know they aren't. And we will talk about those different gradations later on. Sound good?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and start with January. And this will also just be a little preview of what we're planning on covering. This is always fun to try to, make the decisions on what we're going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tomorrow, which is actually today, if you're listening to this, January 16th, kind of the first release of the year, is Street Fighter V Arcade Edition.
Oh, right.
It's a re-release, but I just wanted to mention, Street Fighter V was a game, was it last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. That came out, people thought it had a lot of promise, but felt unfinished.
Yeah.
This looks like a proper finished version of Street Fighter V. If I had the time to play it, I kind of would like to, because I'd like to see what it's all about. But they've, it's got all the fighters, it's got a new arcade mode. There's a lot of extra stuff that they're going to add to the base game if you already own it. But Street Fighter V seems like it's getting its moment in the sun, and that's one of many games coming out in January 2018.
Yep.
Beyond that, January 19th, Friday, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, the long-anticipated sequel to the 2016 Game of the Year Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, is coming out, and you and I are both buying this, and we will talk about it.
Yep. I have to play a lot of Assassin's Creed Origins before next Friday.
Yes.
And I have to play a lot of Digimon Story before the Friday after that.
Yes.
When the next games we're going to talk about come out.
Yep.
And this is a very stressful January for me in terms of playing fucking video games.
Very much so. January 19th, also on the 3DS, is Kirby Battle Royale, a game that has come out in Japan and Europe, and is finally coming out over here in North America. I could not for the longest time figure out what this game was, so I downloaded a demo, and I still cannot figure out what this game is. It's Kirby, and there's some kind of battle, but it's not a fighting game. I don't know what Kirby Battle Royale is.
It's 100 Kirbys drop out of an airplane onto an island and slowly murder each other as a circle encroaches upon a center point, and then the last Kirby standing wins chicken dinner. I think that's what it is.
I would play the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's not what this is. January 23rd, we're not even to the following Friday yet, is Lost Sphere from the Tokyo RPG Factory through Square Enix. This is a game I desperately want to play because it's the next game from the studio that made I Am Setsuna, one of my favorite games of 2016, and one of my favorite video game soundtracks ever. Same team did this one, same sort of throwback JRPG style. Looks great. It's got a demo that I refuse to play because I just want to see the full game. But it's coming out the same week as another JRPG, and I don't know what order I'm playing things in.
Unfortunately, it has one fatal flaw. There are no Digimon in it, so...
Yes, I will be playing Digimon first because it comes out first, but Lost Sphere comes out on Switch, so it's a hell of a lot more portable. But we'll find out. January 25th is Celeste, the indie game that looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So that's coming out. Then we get to January 26th, on which both Dragon Ball FighterZ and Monster Hunter World come out the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Sean... I had kind of wanted to try Monster Hunter, but I'm cutting that cord. I don't have time for it. You, however, played the beta of both of these and want to play them. What are you going to do on January 26th?
I'm playing Dragon Ball FighterZ. I think Monster Hunter World is a game I can safely wait until the summer or something to pick it up. I definitely want to play both of them, but it's there's one. If I do not start playing Dragon Ball FighterZ the day it comes out, it will be I will not be able to play that game online.
Yes,
I'll just be destroyed immediately. That's the way fighting games work. So I want to play that one. I mean, I just want to play it right now. I just want to play that game right now. I don't want to be doing this podcast. I just want to hit someone with the Kamehameha.
Yeah. So we can definitely say for games from January, we will be reviewing together at the very least Digimon Story and Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes. So again, my biggest stress point is, can I finish Digimon Story in time for Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Probably not, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. And finally for January 30th, Dissidia Final Fantasy NT, which is some kind of weird Final Fantasy fighting game that I know nothing about, is coming out.
Yeah, that one also had a beta, but I did not play it. So okay. that missed the window for Sean's beta corner.
February, meanwhile, is filled largely with ports and remasters. However, they are ones I find interesting and is also a very busy month. Let's take a look. February 6th is Shadow of the Colossus for PS4, right, which we both want to play, and is coming out a week after Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
So who knows? But it looks cool. Nice that game's finally coming out again.
Yes, I definitely want to play it. I don't know when I will.
February 8th, Civilization 6 is getting an expansion.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It was on the list. I threw it on there. February 13th, a game I really wanted to play until I saw the calendar and then canceled my pre-order. It's Radiant Historia, Perfect Chronology for the 3DS. Radiant Historia is a JRPG from Atlus, very much like The World Ends With You we talked about earlier in the show, that is a huge cult following. People love it, but kind of flew under the radar on the Nintendo DS. Getting a full 3DS remake. Looks like it's going to be very good. I would love to play this, but I will probably have to cut it, because it's not that urgent, but I would like to play it on the 3DS one day. So there's that. February 15th is a new game that I know we both want to play, which is Dynasty Warriors 9.
Yes.
So
It looks really cool. I've been too far away from the world of Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and I need to go in there and beat Zhuge Liang and like shoot spells at people.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the one with like a fully modeled, not all of China, but it's an open world China, right?
Yes, they are going for an open world model, so it seems like they're drastically changing up the formula.
Yes.
I want to play that for sure.
I do want to play it too. February 15th is also the remake of Secret of Mana for the PS4 and everything else. So that looks kind of cool.
Beloved old JRPG. It's the year of JRPGs, is what we discover over the course of this.
February 16th is a game I very, very much want to play, which is Bayonetta 1 and 2 on Nintendo Switch. Finally getting that ported over from the Wii U to Switch. Same thing as on the Wii U, where it's Bayonetta 2 on the cartridge and Bayonetta 1 is a download, but you get both of them. Bayonetta 3 is in active development for the Switch, so I definitely want to catch up on these. I never owned them for Wii U, but they're super acclaimed. And I definitely think I can fit these in, because they're only like 10-hour games a piece.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to play these. Switch sounds perfect. Looks cool.
Definitely, yeah. I played Bayonetta 1 on, I think, the PS3, because it was like a PS Plus for that brief window when I had a PS3, access to a PS3. It's a good game.
Yeah, I'm excited. February 16th is also that indie game, Fae, which looks cool.
Yep.
February 20th is Heartless Cash Grab, Metal Gear Survive.
Right. That's still coming out, I guess, huh?
Yeah. No one's going to play that, but we can safely... That's one of the few games on this list we can safely say we will not be playing.
Yes, because, again, nobody will.
Fuck you, Konami.
Yeah.
We know what's real and what's not. Fuck you. We don't always love Hideo Kojima Metal Gear, but if he's not associated, it's not Metal Gear.
Exactly.
You cash-grabbing pachinko fiends.
That is... Unfortunately, I don't think that stings, because I think they take that as a compliment.
Yes. Anyway.
I am the pachinko fiend.
All right. March is a crazy, crazy month. So let's get into it. March 13th, Devil May Cry HD Collection.
Okay, yeah, those games are good. Yeah.
Sounds cool because they're good games. Nobody will have time to play them because of what I'm about to tell you. March 16th is Kirby Star Allies for the Nintendo Switch. Looks amazing. March 20th is Attack on Titan 2, which I don't really care about, but some people probably do.
Yeah, that first game was, like, weirdly well-received.
Yeah.
In a way that I kind of always wanted to play it because I did enjoy the anime.
Yeah, I threw it on the list to show how stacked March is. Because there are three more games coming out March 20th.
Yeah, I think they should have named it Attack on Titan.
Yes. So, March 20th has Attack on Titan 2. It also has Sea of Thieves, the much, much, much delayed Xbox title.
Yes, the 5 years in development or something like that Xbox title.
Which I hope is good, but I'm worried about. March 20th is also Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered, which basically seems like it's on that date to tell Microsoft to go fuck itself.
Yeah, it's like you want a game where you're on the ocean killing people. Here you go.
March 20th is also Yakuza 6, The Song of Life.
Yeah.
So, Sean, you've got some decisions to make. Yeah. March 21st is Valkyria Chronicles 4 for everything, including the Nintendo Switch. Looks pretty cool. Don't know if I'll have time for it.
Jesus Christ.
March 23rd is A Way Out, the co-op prison break game.
Right, yeah, with the crazy dude from the Video Game Awards show.
Yes.
Or the Game Awards.
March 23rd is also Ni No Kuni 2. The yep. JRPG that was delayed out of one busy month into an even busier month.
Uh-huh.
March 23rd is also Detective Pikachu for the 3DS. March 27th is Far Cry 5.
Jesus Christ.
And just in case you also play sports games, March 27th is also MLB The Show 18.
Yeah, so if you like baseball games and you like Far Cry,
you're fucked.
You have a decision to make.
Yes. Sean, I assume you're with me in saying there's a lot of games that month that you would like to play.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? Like, of all the games I just played, what's your priority number one?
Oh, fuck. I mean, obviously, like Far Cry 4 was my favorite game of 2014, so I'm interested in what Far Cry 5 is doing. Ni No Kuni 2, I really want to play.
I do too.
There's a lot coming out in March. Huh?
Are you planning on playing Yakuza 6?
I think I'm gonna wait. I think I'm gonna work my way through. I'm probably just gonna wait for them to localize Kiwami 2 and play that version. Just because there's so much other stuff to play.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I want to be able to play Yakuza on my own terms.
Yeah, I understand. It's it frees up a little time for you that month, which is nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kirby Star Allies is a definite lock for me. Mm-hmm. It's also coming out early enough in the month, and it's probably a short enough game that I'm not too worried about getting through it. Then with the March 20th, you know, pile up, Sea of Thieves is the one I would like to make an effort to play.
I would like you to play it just because I want to know what the fuck that game is.
I know. So I will have to read reviews and think about it. I would like to play Sea of Thieves. I would also like to play Ni No Kuni 2 3 days later, and that's like at least a 60-hour JRPG.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed Ni No Kuni the first time around. I've always felt bad about that. I've never been able to go get into it just because time and everything. I would like to make the effort to play Ni No Kuni 2. I would also like to play Detective Pikachu in the same fucking day. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Also, this fucking bullshit of JRPGs not on the Nintendo Switch. That system has so rewired my brain. I don't want to play a JRPG locked to my couch. It's difficult. I want it on the Switch so I can just bring it the fuck with me. It's hard, but I will make the effort for Ni No Kuni 2 because it's scored by our greatest film composer, Joe Hisaishi. So that's cool. But there are too many games. Luckily, I don't care about Far Cry and find the series mostly distasteful. So I can cut that out. And I also, while I like baseball, do not play baseball games. So I can cut MLB The Show 18. Still, that month, fuck you, March.
Yeah.
All right. April has nothing that I found on the calendar yet other than that game. This is an indie game that's been in development forever, We Happy Few. It's the crazy, like, Joker and Batman-looking one.
Yeah.
Coming out April 13th. So that's finally got a date. I know.
Was it that game was, like, in early access for a long time?
Is it in early access? Is it out?
It is definitely. It is an early access. I think it's probably on the game preview program.
Oh, shit.
Well.
Okay. Well, then
I think that's when it's getting its quote unquote.
Okay. Then I shouldn't have put it on here. I thought, because I kept. It was still at E3, though, and stuff. So,
the game was released as an early access title in July 2016.
But oh, shit.
Fully
really?
Released in April 2018. Yeah.
Why does a game like this need 2 years of early access? You know what? We don't need to go down that rabbit hole right now.
Yeah. Game release dates mean nothing anymore.
Yeah. May, we already talked about. May 4th is Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze for Switch. May 25th is Dark Souls Remastered for Switch and everything else. And that month, the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, which has like 12 Street Fighter games, is coming out. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I might get that.
Yeah. Because that one also, it's direct arcade ports. It's not the home versions.
Yeah.
And that's coming to Switch, PS4, everything. I might get that as well. And that's May, but undated. But they have committed to a month, and they probably can get it out by then.
Yes.
Who knows? All right. But that's what we know about so far. So, this is just crazy for us scheduling, because, we know the two games in January we're reviewing. February will probably be a grab bag. March, I don't know. March, I think you and I are going to have to, sit down and be like, what game do we both play from that month that we can review together? And it probably will be Ni No Kuni 2, but it's going to be tough to figure out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's nuts. I'm looking forward to May. I would really like to play the new Dark Souls Remastered. I'd like to play Donkey Kong. I've actually started replaying the original Donkey Kong Country games in prep for that, because I've always wanted to go back and play all of those. And it's fun. Yeah,
I mean, unless there's like one of these other games that doesn't have a specific release date yet, kits in May, that might be where I do Monster Hunter.
Okay, nice. All right. You want me to go through a list quickly of other 2018 games? And then maybe we'll play our game after that.
Okay.
Let's go through these. Other games that we think are coming out in 2018.
Yeah, that have been implied or directly stated as being released in 2018.
You know what? Here's what I'll do, Sean. I will name the game. You will give me a quick, like, up, down, does it actually come out this year?
Okay.
And I don't know, are you interested in it? You can tell me both of those.
Yeah.
Anthem.
Oh, no.
No.
Definitely not. Like, interested and curious, but it does not come out in 2018. No fucking way.
Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night. Years-long Kickstarter project.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that probably makes it. I would be surprised if it didn't. I'm not that interested in it, though.
Crackdown 3. Or is this game just fucking canceled?
Not interested. I think there is a non-zero chance that it gets canceled. I think there's a non-zero chance it just gets scale-bounded.
I think it either comes out this year or it never comes out.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Darksiders 3.
Fuck, they're making it right. THQ Nordic. No. I just don't believe that Darksiders is coming back. I just refuse to accept that. That's so weird to me that they're making another one of those games.
Days Gone for PS4.
Right. I think there's a decent chance it makes 2018, but I would not be surprised if it slips to 2019.
Detroit Become Human.
I think that probably comes out. I'm not interested in that game.
Okay.
I've gone through a whole process with that game.
Also, we learned this week that everyone at Quantic Dream is a fucking asshole. No, not everyone.
No. David Cage is a fucking asshole. I mean, everybody knew that, but it's like, it's more clear. It's become more and more clear over the course of the development of Detroit Become Human. It's like, everything has left you by David Cage. You need to fucking update or like move to the background, buddy.
Yes. The Western release of Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age.
I think that makes it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm also interested in that.
Yeah, me too. Dreams, which is this little fun indie game.
Right.
Probably coming out. That looks neat.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. That's been in development for so long.
Yeah, here's an easy one. Yeah. God of War.
I think that makes it for sure.
Oh, yeah. There's a million rumored release dates for that, like most people agree it's June 30th. No one has confirmed that yet. It probably is coming out, but yeah.
Yeah, I would not be... I would bet that that's probably in that. Because that's kind of the slot that they had Last of Us come out in 2013, right around E3.
Yep. Here are three from the Nintendo Direct, so we know these are coming. Hyrule Warriors, Kirby we already know the date for, sorry, and Mario Tennis Aces. Nintendo doesn't delay things like this, so they'll be this year. Mega Man 11.
Right. I think that probably hits. I would be surprised if that slips.
Yeah. Metro Exodus.
I would not be... I would bet that that slips because that was debuted at the Microsoft press conference last E3. I bet that slips. I bet that slips until like February 2019.
It's the Microsoft curse.
Yeah.
All right. Pillars of Eternity 2.
That's another Kickstarter, right?
Well, Pillars of Eternity 1 was... This one had some crowdfunding, but it's Obsidian, and they can kind of...
Obsidian. No, it doesn't. Okay. It doesn't hit. It's Obsidian.
Project Octopath Traveler for the Switch.
Are they sticking with that name?
It hasn't had a real name yet, but like they've insisted it's 2018. It's had a full demo.
Yeah.
I think it's this year. And I hope they just keep the title. It's so great.
Me too. Yeah, I think it probably hits.
Yeah. Red Dead 2.
That's a big... I'm going to say it comes out this fall. I'm going to say this October.
Okay.
I think that there's a good chance that it slips. But already slipped so far, I would not be surprised if it gets like a couple week or like a month delay when they give us an actual date and it like misses that date. But I don't think it misses 2018.
Okay. Shenmue 3.
No, that's not coming out.
Soul Calibur 6.
I don't think that's... Because that just got announced. I don't think that hits either.
Okay, it was announced for 2018. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Spider-Man for PS4.
I think that hits this year. Yeah, okay. I would not be surprised if God of War is this summer and that's the fall Sony release.
It would feel like it had missed its moment a little bit if it doesn't come out this year.
Yeah, because it's been at 2 E3s now.
State of Decay 2?
Yeah, I think that hits. Yeah, there's no reason why
it wouldn't. A couple of these are gimmies, like Super Meat Boy Forever. Probably will.
Yeah.
Who cares? The Crew 2 from Ubisoft.
Sure, it comes out. Who cares? It's going to come out. Nobody's going to give a shit. The Crew 2. Why are they making a sequel to The Crew?
And then, nothing else too important here. There's the Yoshi game for Switch. We still don't have any real details on it, but that's going to come out. Like, yeah. Nintendo wouldn't delay that.
You mean
that.
Super Mario Yoshi style.
Yes, Super Mario Yoshi style. World Ends With You Final Remix, we mentioned. And World of Warcraft finally is getting its next expansion called Battle for Azeroth.
Sure.
Blizzard doesn't miss things.
Yeah, that's
so.
Going to hit.
Yeah. But yeah. Now, Sean, so it's a lot of good games that could be coming out this year, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I want to play a game where I have made a list of games, some that I just read and some that I think were too stupid to even put in that list of, like, 2018 because they've never been confirmed for it. And what I want to do is play a draft where we are going to... Normally, you draft for things you think are promising prospects.
Yeah.
We're not drafting for quality or anything like that. We're drafting on games that we are sure will not come out this year, and that's how we're going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to flip a coin or something to figure out who goes first. And we're each going to draft until this list is done our team of games that will not come out this year in order of preference. And we will check again next year and see who slipped up and who didn't. Okay?
Okay, this is an interesting... I want to make it clear, I did not know that this is what we were doing.
I'm going to pause recording for a second so we can set up the game, but then we're going to do it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so Sean, we have set up our game.
Yes, we
our
have.
Draft of games that will not be coming out in 2018. Again, the point is to draft as high as you can a game that you are sure is not coming out. We have picked 16 games from what we talked about, and some we didn't talk about because they are probably not 2018 games,
yeah.
Even though some people have been treating them like that, like pre-orders on Amazon or something. And what we're going to do is we're going to flip a coin. Whoever wins the coin flip gets to go first with their first round draft pick. We'll just go back and forth. We're not going to do snake draft because there's only two people and that'd be weird.
Yeah.
Sound good, Sean?
That sounds good to
you
me.
You agree to these rules?
I'm ready.
All right. Heads or tails?
Heads.
Flipping. Tails.
Fuck.
Okay. I win. So I get to take the first round draft pick and I am taking Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Because that feels like the easiest one to me.
I legitimately think that there is a non-zero chance that Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out this year.
I think there's a non-zero chance for all of these coming out this year.
No!
But...
Well, let's scroll back up, because you've got the list on your computer.
Yeah, so I will take that off, because I've taken Kingdom Hearts 3. That just feels like one of the easier ones to me.
Going to peruse down this list for what is, like, definitely not coming out in 2018.
So you're making your first round
pick
now.
Which would be Metroid... The Pokemon Gen 8 for Switch is not coming out in 2018.
Okay.
Pokemon Gen 8 for Switch. No. All
right.
No fucking way.
All right, so you have Pokemon Gen 8 for Switch, which means I get to take my next one, and I am taking Last of Us Part 2.
Okay, that's a good. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, Last of Us Part 2 is not this year. It might get announced for this year. It will not come out this year. I feel pretty confident making that guess.
Yeah, I will go Metroid Prime 4.
Metroid Prime 4, all right.
I do not think that's coming out this year.
Okay, you are taking Metroid Prime 4. We shall see. All right, let's see. Okay, of the ones we have left, I am looking. I want to see if I want to make a bold prediction yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with an easy one, and I'm taking Anthem.
Yeah, I agree.
I also... I will make the sub-prediction. I think Anthem gets announced for this year, and I think it slips.
Okay.
I think it gets a date at E3, and then I think it slips.
I think that's fair enough. I'm going to do... We have one on here that says a new Assassin's Creed... I'm going to say that a new Assassin's Creed does not come out this year.
Yes.
So obviously, like, Assassin's Creed Rogue does not count.
Yes. This was a slight bending of, like, the rules, but we both agreed to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, because traditionally Assassin's Creed was an annual franchise. I think that's a fair thing to speculate on.
Yes. So you're saying that even if we hear about it, it will not come out this year.
And I also want to, like, be specific that, like, a major, like, DLC for Origins or something like that does not count.
Yes.
I think there's a chance that's what hits, like, this holiday window for Assassin's Creed. But, like, a proper full Assassin's Creed game, not this year.
All right. I am looking at the list to come. I am taking Shenmue 3.
I think that's the smart choice for what is left here.
Yeah. I wanted to make kind of a bold prediction, but I'm like... Both, it's the long-delayed Shenmue 3, and it's a Kickstarter game. No, it's not coming on time.
Yeah. So now we're getting into the harder bits here. And I'm going to say that Days Gone does not come out in 2018.
All right, that's one I wanted to take, but I think that's fair. I think Days Gone is going to be one of the few PS4 first-party flops. And
that's
I think it's going to take
possible.
Too long to come.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of it. All right, we have 8 games left, so we each have 4 rounds to go. And now we're feeling the crunch. I'm going to go bold, and I'm saying Red Dead 2 misses this year.
All right.
Because fuck it. Fuck it. Red Fuck Dead it. 2 misses this year.
Okay. I mean, that's entirely possible.
Yes.
I'm going to go, on the basis that it doesn't have a proper title yet, I'm going to go Project Octopath Traveler.
Okay.
I think that's enough to sort of bring some doubt to the release of that game.
All right. So you've taken Project Octopath Traveler. Let's remind the people what's left. Crackdown 3, Detroit Become Human, Soul Calibur 6, Spider-Man, The Crew 2, and Yoshi. And I am taking The Crew 2.
Okay.
From that list because, you know, it could, it could not. It also doesn't matter because no one will play it.
Yeah, we'll see. Nobody will even know if it comes out in 2018 whether or not it does.
Yes. So, okay, I took The Crew 2. What do you want to take?
I'll take Soul Calibur 6.
Soul Calibur 6.
That, since it was just announced, even though, you know, it had a pretty solid-looking trailer, yes, there's a good chance it misses. We're left with four pretty hard ones.
I know what I'm definitely not picking. I want to pick Crackdown 3 just to shit on Xbox at the moment. But... I'm taking Crackdown 3. I'm taking it. I think Detroit could get delayed, but I think that comes out this year, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But you have three left. What do you pick?
Fuck. Continuing from my Project Octopath Traveler logic, I'm going to go with Untitled Yoshi Project.
Okay. Project Octopath Yoshi.
Yes. Project Super Mario Yoshi style.
Yes.
I'll pick that one.
Okay, I get to pick between Detroit and Spider-Man.
The battle of the Sony exclusives. I know what I'd pick.
Spider-Man.
I think that is the right choice.
I'm taking Spider-Man. Because I think Detroit is more reliable to come out. It's not more reliable to be good, but it'll come out.
Yeah, no. Like Detroit Become Human has been around for so long. Obviously, that is my last forced pick.
I do not want
Detroit Become Human on my list.
But you have it.
I don't want to play that game.
All right.
It's been at like 500 E3s. It has to come out sometime.
All right. So we will not get to see who truly won this draft for a year.
Yeah.
But that's how it works in sports, too.
Sure.
You know, you don't get to see whether your draft really worked out for you until a season's gone by. But I think how we'll do it in a year's time, and we can change this later, is that for everyone we get right, depending on its ranking, it'll get more points the higher up if it is still not out. And we'll see who gets more points at the end of the year. To remind our listeners of our drafts of games that will not come out in 2018.
Yeah.
My number one was Kingdom Hearts 3. My number two was Last of Us Part 2. My number three was Anthem. Four was Shenmue 3. Five was Red Dead 2. Six was The Crew 2. Seven was Crackdown 3. I am not bullish on sequels this year.
Yeah.
And eight was Spider-Man. Your draft.
Yeah, my draft is number one is Pokemon Gen 8 for Switch. Number two is Metroid Prime 4. Number three is a new Assassin's Creed. Number four is Days Gone. Number five is Project Octopath Traveler. Number six is Soul Calibur 6. Number seven is Yoshi. Number eight is Detroit Become Human. I think the main theme of my list is I am very distrustful of games that don't have full titles.
That's a definite theme there, as you have four games without titles of your eight.
I mean, if you're going to have it come out in a year, you want to have what it's called.
Yes.
I think so. It's fair logic.
We will get over through the year, we will get points if a game actually, not just release date announced, like it comes out and you can go buy it. And we will lose points, or we will lose points if it actually comes out. We will get points if it never does. We won't know until next January.
And I have to think if we have like a tiebreaker sort of scenario somehow, like a game that was released in 2018 but was delayed from its initial announced release date should be like a half point.
Sure,
if it's needed.
Sure, we can do that. Any other predictions you want to make about these games? Like my prediction that Crackdown 3, either it never comes out or it comes out this year, which I think that's why I have it on here. Like, it's not going to get delayed. It could just get canceled, and I think I still deserve points for that.
Yeah. Other predictions of, like one of the things I'm curious about, as I'm curious about every year, is what does Call of Duty do now? The further we get down the path, it's like now what? It's Treyarch is up at bat again. So do we get a Black Ops 4? Do we get a, like... Do they make another World War II game?
I think Call of Duty World War III. We had World War II last time, World War III, and then Infinity Ward comes back.
I think that's
what
Black Ops 2 is.
Yes, that's true. Black Ops has been a really successful sub-brand, you know?
Yeah.
Like, definitely the most after Modern Warfare petered out. But I don't know. Getting onto 4 sounds weird, you know? Like, what is it? Call of Duty 15, Black Ops 4... More Modern Warfare. Like, what has it become? I think they might try to start... I would say I think they might try to start another sub-brand, except the last time anyone did that, it was Advanced Warfare, and that didn't go well, it seems like, sales-wise, because that didn't get repeated.
Yeah.
They went on to Infinity Warfare.
Advanced Warfare went to World War II.
Oh, it did? Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I don't think Infinite Warfare is getting a sequel.
Because the fans didn't like it, even though it's a great game. So, I'd like Call of Duty. I have no idea what the fuck they're doing with that. Another big question mark for me in 2018 is Electronic Arts.
What's
Star Wars with EA? Like Mass Effect Andromeda? Like the after effects of all of that? Anthem is probably almost certainly not coming out in 2018. They've got that Get Out game or whatever. A Way Out.
Get Out video game would be very weird.
Yeah. If they're interested, EA, that's their new indie game they show off at this year's E3. It's
Escape the Sunken Place.
Yeah. Which I just realized we're half a year away from E3. And the hell I have to go through for an E3 podcast. We're that much closer. Now that I have to think about E3 2018.
We're doing daily podcasts this year. We're breaking it up. Not doing one.
Yeah, no, yeah. We're not recording all one. It was too much. It's been too much for years now. It's a hell of a year for video games. It's a hell of a beginning of the year. Fucking shit, man. There's so much shit to play. It's weird that after this, 2 or 3 years where the beginning of the year has been so stacked, I'm now, nostalgic about when there were no video games to play in January and February.
I enjoy the period where I get to go back and play old stuff.
All the stuff that you missed from the end of the previous year, or, go back and replay an old game that you've been looking to do.
It's nuts.
There's too many video games coming out.
There's too many video games, there's too many TV shows, there's too much shut stuff.
Yes, too much stuff.
Too much shit.
Too much stuff, and it's very stressful for us on the Weekly Stuff podcast to have too much stuff to deal with. God damn it.
Maybe that can be our next title, the Too Much Weekly Stuff podcast. Or the Too Much Stuff podcast, weekly.
See, I mean, if we go back to doing 4-hour podcasts last year, yes, that is what we're naming it.
Almost luckily, we don't have Twin Peaks or Doctor Who this spring. We will have Doctor Who in the fall. Know. But yeah, who knows? Maybe David Lynch shot a second Twin Peaks season.
In secret.
In secret. With just Kyle MacLachlan in a dark room.
But Kyle MacLachlan plays 50 characters.
Well, he has to play everyone.
Yeah.
It's him alone in a dark room. Anyway. All right. We will be back next week. We will have fun things to talk about. And we'll figure out where we go from there.
Yeah, I need to play some more Dragon Ball FighterZ now. So if we could just... It's very good.
Thanks again to everybody for tuning into this week's episode. Please remember to rate and review our show on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter at Jonathan Lack.
And at Sean the Chapman.
We'll see you guys next time.
Hopefully, with the year we're having, I'm not so sure.